Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Greetings to you, my loves. This is the Doug Guttrussell Family Hour Podcast. And today I have with us a shaman, the shaman. But before we get into that, I got to do some housekeeping. Friends, why don't you check out my new podcast with the great Kurt Metzger, The Mystery Boys, which is now on YMH. Just look it up on YouTube. Links are down below. Even better, why don't you come see me at the Comedy Mothership coming up in July. Also, I'm going to be in Houston. All the dates are down below. I'm going to be at the Milwaukee Improv July 23rd to July 25th. Now, everyone, let's get this show on the road. With us here today is the co-host of Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast. He is an incredibly funny comic. I hope you'll come see him at the Mothership in July or the San Jose Improv in August. But first, listen to the singing of the shaman. Everybody welcome Matt McCusker back to the DTFH.
Let's do it!
Ready.
Hold on, wait. Let me.
Sorry, it's your podcast. Out. You drum the table. I was overstepping.
No. That's I like it when the guests drum the table.
Really?
Have you seen Love Island?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God, dude.
How is it?
It is the most dystopian slop. Like right when you know, it's that thing where you like to watch satanic garbage just to sort of marvel at the apocalypse.
Yeah.
and you always think that it can't get lower than this, and then someone figures it out. That's Love Island.
Really?
It's the most soulless, vapid indictment of humanity that you've ever seen in your life. It's not even bad good. It's just bad. It's like watching cardboard or something. It's hard to explain how soulless it is.
Yeah, so what is the actual premise? It's just do they have to be like are they like basically made to have sex and whoever doesn't have sex is out?
They're not made to have sex. See, that would make the show incredible if they were forced to fuck. Yeah. That I would watch. Forced
both
to
people,
fuck.
By the way.
Yeah, they consent, but they don't consent to who will be fucking.
Yes.
Forced to fuck.
They're down to fuck.
But. And if you say no, you're out. That's all. So it's not, you're out.
You're just out. That's fair.
But no, it's not that. It's so basically they find a group of like incredibly symmetrical, beautiful women who are all like in their 20s who probably in a moral world would not be allowed at that age to participate in this because your brain hasn't finished developing, as they say, but more just because at that age, when you're in your 20s, you don't know what you're doing. But they've been lured into this horrific trap where they then like have to date there's so many different humiliations in this, but the initial humiliation is they have to do a choreographed dance at the beginning of the show, and then they interview each of them, and they're all varying degrees of like that narcissism of youth. They think they're going to live forever. They don't know they're going to get old. They don't know what happens when the baby comes. They don't. None of that has come to them yet. They're immortal beings.
Yeah.
That are immortal, and so everything they're saying is what it would make sense if you were immortal.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're going to die. They're going to wither. They're going to get old. Their parents are going to die. All those things are coming their way. So they're just like, I want a man who is as organized as I am and beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you turn my head? So, dude, I don't.
So then they get in there, and then there's these guy counterparts, same age, or are they hitting them with like?
Oh yeah, same exact thing.
Yeah.
And this episode is basically what happens is each of the guys goes to this circle. And then based on a sort of brief hangout, I think they made them all kiss each other. The women decide which guy they want to be their partner during the show.
Because of the kiss.
Yeah. And you realize how important.
It's a seventh grade party.
It is. 100%.
It's a boy-girl party.
It's like seventh graders wrote the fucking show is what it feels like.
That's crazy.
And this one, though, it's like, you always hear like women talk about they want to guy 6'3", 6'4". They like tall dudes.
Yeah.
Like, I guess tall guys for ladies are like big tits for guys.
I think so. I think that's a fair.
It's jugs.
Yeah.
So this fucking beautiful, like, godlike black dude, he's giant, just you know, like, fuck you for getting to be that in this life. You bastard. You've never once been lonely. You don't know what it's like to go home from a bar alone. You have no idea. You've never struggled with that before. But he's not a dick. The other problem is he's very humble. Like, he could be president. He could be like some kind of global king. And so all the, like, three of the women all go to, like, all the women go to him.
Yeah.
And, like, you just see, like, oh, I get it, man.
Yeah.
This is where, how polygamy started. And this is how, like, multiple wives started and all that stuff. Because, like, look, why shouldn't he have these ladies?
Are they starting to fight and bicker amongst themselves for the, like, top role amongst this man?
Low level. You know, it's that
really
low.
It's, so it's pretty it's working
the beginning
out
of the show. They got to seem, you know. And then the saddest part is this poor dude who's, they're all beautiful, but this guy's like 5'6" and he's dressed like, he's wearing like a weird banana suit, but he's cool.
Yeah,
he's cool, but he's standing in that circle alone.
Ah.
And you're just looking at it. It's like, God, this is the primordial level of the universe, man. You got big jugs. You're a tall, symmetrical dude. You live in an alternate reality. Welcome to the podcast, by the way.
Dude, thank you. That's sad. So the guy gets rejected on TV. And then for the women, if they're, whoever doesn't get like the hottest, tallest guy has to kind of get like kind of humiliated a little bit because they're like losing a very, like, the ultimately personal battle, which is women's beauty.
You're standing in a circle on a show in a banana suit with this other dude swarming with ladies. But you do, everyone gets a lady. Like, you know, he could only pick one guy. The God man could only pick one lady. He picks one lady, and then the other two are just sort of like paired off.
Yeah.
And then that's how.
That sucks.
So you're watching it, but I think I'm making it sound better than it is.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. That's how I feel like when I would like go to the strip club, I would feel like I was like in some sub level of the human process where I was just kind of like, oh, fuck, dude, is this how things really work? We don't really just like, here's money.
I don't know.
Yeah.
On one level, yeah, for sure. How much of it is like that and how much of it is just sort of coping and making up a story so that you don't have to admit you're an animal like all the other animals?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, this is the Hare Krishna dude. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada said that, you know, the humans are animals are, they do three things: four things: eat, sleep, mate, and defend. This is what animals spend their day doing. One of those things. You're doing one of those things if you're an animal. And humans also engage in those same four activities. And the only time, so if you're, that's all you're doing throughout your life, fucking, eating, fighting people off, sleeping, you're an animal.
Mm-hmm.
According to Prabhupada, the only time you stop being an animal is when you start connecting with God. That's, according to Prabhupada, animals are not engaged in any kind of religious activity. They're, which would be awesome.
That would be so sick. Yeah, dude, I think about that all the time. The like, especially if you're an animal, if you see a bigger animal, you're inherently afraid. You're like, fuck, this animal could kick my ass. It's a bigger animal.
Yeah.
Humans' bigness is like shot out across a bunch of dimensions that aren't related to size, but it's the same exact reaction where it's like, fuck, this guy has more stuff, or they have a cooler car, or they're more attractive. Yeah. And that's why humans get like, I think the same visceral reaction as like a bacterium seeing a bigger bacterium. Yeah. There's like, and there's a point where, and then usually it leads to being like, fuck that guy sucks.
Yeah.
And it's just because you're like, I feel bad when I see you.
That piece of shit.
Yeah,
he doesn't deserve to be that. Yeah. You see that fucker's mitochondria?
But no, I think that's a huge thing. And it's just like, as soon as you recognize it, I remember Because that's what my inner monologue, I would walk through a grocery store and every single person I'd see, I'd either be like, fucking piece of shit, look at that guy. See a tall, hot guy, you're like, guy's probably fucking gay, fuck that guy. And it just, and I was like, why am I doing this? This is never ending. It's just all day long of me just being like, fuck that lady, what the fuck's up with that?
That's one of my go-to responses when I'm getting mogged. Like, we're watching the new House of Dragons.
Is it out now?
Oh, it's so good.
Fuck, I want to. That was the show I was following.
You know the like, I don't know, the white haired dragon lord dude, Damien or something.
Yep.
And I'm watching with my wife, and of course she's like, he's so hot. And like,
why do they do that?
First thing that popped in my head that I wanted to say that I didn't was, he's gay. Trust me, that guy's gay as fuck.
That's the best. Well, that's the front line defense against hot actors. Every time I'm like, yeah, this guy's fucking gay. He's a fucking famous British actor. Good luck with, you'd never get him.
That's number two. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I can't wait for the next episode to come out. I'm going to have that one in the quiver.
Yeah, just be like, yeah, dream on.
Oh, please.
He wouldn't even look at you. He wouldn't even see you.
He might kill you if he saw you. He might just have an instinctual response.
That is a good thing to be like, honestly, if there was a circumstance that arose where he could either have sex with you or kill you, he might choose to kill you.
He might kill you.
So he didn't have to have sex with you. So
yeah, you'd be in
if you want to get personal.
You'd be in the circle on Love Island. But all those things, I guess, are like the human equivalent of, like, you know, you see a chihuahua, they're so fucking cute.
Yeah.
But they're so mean.
They're so fucking
so
mean.
You always want to touch a chihuahua because they're so cute, but then you get close and they're...
Yeah.
That's our version of that, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's fucking gay. He would never fuck you.
Yeah.
That's the snarl, the animal snarl coming out.
It's so true.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I think on one level, the nihilistic view is you can't argue with it. But then you don't have to be an animal.
Yeah. No, that's true, man. That is I think that does, and that's why I feel bad for the Love Island guys. If you're 20 and you're like, I'm going to be famous, and there's no foresight or being like, yeah, this could be potentially humiliating, most likely will be.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, but as you get older, it is nicer as you start shedding a lot of the animal stuff where you're just kind of like, whatever, man. It's just so much, I don't know. I like, I'm so happy to get older.
Me too.
I love getting older.
I do too.
It's the fucking best. Getting older rules. I always try to tell my wife, I'm like, no, getting older is sick.
Yeah.
At least for a guy.
Yeah, how many kids do you have?
Two.
You have two kids. Yeah. I think that's part of it. I think getting older minus kids, it could get lonely and dark.
Yeah.
Because you're sort of staking your future on... I want to thank Factor for supporting this episode of the DTFH. You know what? I don't know if you've ever had like friends who get those super fancy meal delivery services. You go to visit them. They got that stack of freshly delivered refrigerated food sitting on their doorstep. Delicious, healthy meals created by some kind of advanced nutritional advisor, celebrity chefs, whatever. But most of us don't have access to that level of nutrition. At least, we used to not have access. But thanks to Factor, now we all do. Factor meals are incredible. They save my ass during my wife's pregnancy. It's so nice to be able to throw something into the microwave and your lifetime of disappointment with microwave food, it sets you up to think, this is going to suck. Not with Factor. Factor meals are truly delicious. And even better, you feel good after you eat them, as opposed to most microwave meals where you feel like you just ate a radioactive steel ball that you then have to push through your digestive system. This is not Factor. Why? Factor isn't frozen. Factor meals come to you fresh. They're prepared by chefs. And there's so many options. You could check them out on Factor's webpage. If you want, like, if you're working out, maybe you're like me, you have diabetes and you're on Ozempic and you want something so that your muscles don't atrophy, they've got everything for you. And again, let me emphasize, It's delicious. You should definitely try them out. I would not rave about them so much. And yes, they are paying me, but they also sent me a bunch of Factor meals, and they were gone. They were gone so quickly. Everybody in my house loves them and eats them whenever they're available. Again, these are fresh, never frozen. They're delicious, and they're ready in 2 minutes. Factor shops, preps, cooks, and delivers straight to your door so you have more time for everything you love this spring. Head to factormeals.com/Dunkin50off and use code Dunkin50off to get 50% off and free daily greens per box with new subscription only while supplies last until September 27th, 2026. See their website for more details. Freedom, basically, yeah. The sense of this is what freedom is.
I think you don't even know what freedom is until you have kids. That's the problem. Because then I was awash in freedom. I would be like, I'm fucking bored. What the fuck am I going to do? And if I have a half an hour free, I'm like, oh my God.
Jesus,
I'm
going to freak.
I'm sort of laying in bed.
On the road.
Yeah.
And you get in that hotel room, that womb of silence. And you're just like, oh. Tell me what like a typical Philadelphia day for you was, like prior to becoming a breeder. What would you do? One of these days of freedom. What would you do?
Dude, I'm a weird case because I had, because I used to sell weed. Just kidding to my life insurance policy because they were asking about that. But just kidding, obviously, life insurance. But yeah, so I had from a young age, I was like free time rich. And it was weird at first because I was like, I was always just had to work. I was going to school and working and blah, blah, blah. And I would wake up. I mean, I was the ultimate time waster. I would wake up. I don't even know what I did. I'd be texting people like, hey, and I would like run little weed errands here and there. But for the most part, I would like just walk my dogs. I didn't even have hobbies. I'm like trying to think. I didn't play video games. I don't know what I did.
Wow.
I would just kind of just like look at weed and be like, damn, that looks nice. And then I'd bring it to my house and I'd drive around all nervous. And like, so I had a lot of free time.
Yeah.
That luckily I would do stand up at night. That was like the thing that I was doing and kind of thinking about.
Yeah.
But a day in the life before kids was really like wake up 11 o'clock and run a couple, I always call them running errands. I would just drive around, do stuff, chill, eat.
Yeah.
Go for walks. I would like write on my laptop. I'd abandon 40 million novels.
Yeah.
Just like literally dick off so hard that I can't even fathom it anymore.
How did you get into not selling weed?
The podcast. The podcast started doing well enough.
No, I mean, like, I have to say not selling YouTube Talk. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, right, right. I'll pretend fun selling.
You're alive and all that.
You know what it was? I was in senior year of high school, and I remember because you know, like, we were like younger, just like there's people who just have weed, and you're like, I'll smoke weed with you. And they're like, all right, I need money now. And you're like, how much is this stuff? And they're like, it's $45 for an eighth. And I was like, fuck, that's like a whole day of work for me. I can't do that. Like, I used to get paid $60.
What year was that?
This would have been, what year did I graduate high school? I graduated high school 2004.
Okay. Those are 2004 prices.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's weird. Like, I still have high school drug menus in my head. Like, hit of acid, $5. Quarterback, $35, $40.
Mm-hmm.
55 for an eighth.
Yeah.
That is fucking. Do you think that's Philadelphia, or do you think weed just got more expensive?
Weed plummeted. Weed was way more expensive.
Maybe I'm misremembering.
But no. Oh, hold on. No, a quarter, depending on what grade weed was it, though? Was it Beester's?
That fucking Hendersonville, North Carolina weed. This was crap. Fucking raccoon fur and old sticks.
So it was just swag. It was just swag weed. It was just complete swag.
Unbelievably
It was swag. So that was the hot eyes and headache weed where you're just like.
Seeds popping.
That you could get for cheap. That stuff was like, that's always been pretty cheap. But so there was swag. My older brothers only ever, you know, they bravely went before me, and they were just swag, like tinfoil training day weed. Were just like disgusting.
Yeah,
like, and then when I was in high school, it was Beester's, which were like, they're called Beester's. They're from BC, like British Columbia. And they were like, before all the nice, like, headies, what came later, They were like pretty low THC, but they were like nice round little buds that smelled like hay. They had no scent to them whatsoever. They just smelled like literally straw. But you got them. Everyone's like, dude, look at those boosters. And there's AAA boosters where you'd be like, bro, I got some AAAs.
Oh, wow.
It's all just bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was, I was getting boosters, which were like low grade, what you could call, let's say medical grade weed for like you'd see in a dispensary. It was like that, but you didn't really see crystals on it, but it actually had a nug.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like the chaotic mess of swag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember when we, you know, every once in a while you would come upon beasters, which we were just like, you would listen.
Mind
like
blowing.
A UFO landed.
They were fucking wet. They're always wet, too.
Yes. Moist and dried them out. Probably don't fucking
it
care.
It was one or the other.
Get them the fuck out of here. Just get them the fuck out.
Well, the water weight makes up a lot. So if you don't cure it all the way, now it's like a pound of weed. The ounce would be like that big.
Dude, that was, because, you know, back then, we got to put it in perspective, man. We're talking like before legalization.
Yeah.
Weed was a whole different animal back
then.
Oh,
yeah. It was crazy.
It was, you had to actively search for it. You remember when droughts would come?
Oh, yeah. Every summer. It's a summer bummer. That's when you were waiting. You were waiting for the growers to grow. Everything was, most of it ended up started coming from like California. So you had to let them finish. And then everyone tours before summer was like, or during summer was all the old shit from like a year and a half ago. And then that would just finally run out. And then everyone was just waiting for that new outdoor cut.
See, you were more sophisticated in your weed consumption than we were in Hendersonville because we didn't know any of that.
It took a long time.
There's a drought. What happened?
That's what was going on. And then a lot of the growers take vacation before they start new year. So yeah, the summer bummer was the worst. You'd have just moldy, shitty weed.
It was horrible. The droughts and
they're bad.
And so back then, High Times magazine seemed edgy. Like if somebody had a copy of High Times, like, whoa, dude, like this shit's illegal. Like,
yeah,
are you crazy?
And you could order seeds from the back and you'd be like, oh my God.
Oh my God. Because that was weirdly, it was legal to order seeds, which is so odd.
Fucking crazy.
So odd. You know, if you get conspiratorial about laws like that, it's clear why they're there, because let them grow it. Let them sell it. Let them make so much money, buy a nice house and cars, and then you get to take the house and the cars. It's like, it's perfect.
That's perfect, especially for the net. You know, it's like, it's not like it's like black tar heroin. It's like, yeah, let them grow weed and we'll come. And the sentencing guidelines are hilarious for growing, because it's like between 1 and 50 plants. 50 and 100. So if you grow one or two plants, you might as well grow like 45.
You might as well have,
you're
going to
get the
farm.
Same sentence for the most part. And I think they can like weigh them, because they, yeah, so. But yeah, the sentencing from growing weed was crazy in terms of like the level of plants and stuff.
All of the drug laws are still insane. It's just old people who like have no idea what the drugs are. Like you should have to like take the drug before you come up with a sentence for the drug.
I think that's fair. Yeah, and I remember someone I know was selling like weed brownies at a festival, and the cops just weighed the tray of brownies and just were like, "Yeah, you had like 7 pounds of weed," and they got fucking fried.
Just
like, they got crushed.
Same with LSD. Like LSD, they weigh the paper. And LSD is so potent that you add the paper and you've got like a swimming pool worth of LSD. Yeah, yeah. Like enough to like get New York high for a decade.
Well, they were sending people to jail for LSD for like 15 years. They were killing people.
Life
for
sentences.
That.
Life sentences.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in this, like your sort of wandering weed dealer days, because now, look at you. You're like super motivated, man. You got kids.
Mm-hmm.
You got one of the best podcasts out there with Shane. You're making cartoons, writing books, and you got a Substack.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, I got to get the Substack going. It's still, I took it down to like redo
it. Oh,
you
took it down.
Well, it's coming back up. I wanted to like, Substack reached out to me.
Stokestack.
Stokestack. It's coming. Yeah. It's coming. I'm trying to use that to make me like, give me basically a writing deadline that
that's
I always
smart.
Have looming over my head.
Yeah, that's smart.
So that's the whole point of that. So I'm gonna like take all of the stuff I have and like get a nice little back catalog, so that way I can kind of like not be just like completely getting crushed by like the deadline. So I have a little bit of a buffer.
When we've talked about writing, you have told me you're working on a Western. Is that what you're putting on your Substack? Is it fiction?
It's gonna be a mix. It's gonna be I wanna have it as like essays on books I'm reading, because I like to read books, and from what I gather, there's a lot of people who like to like at least just like only books that I think are good. I'm not going to be like, this book sucks, and then be turned into like a critic. But basically, this book was cool. Here's a synopsis about it, why I thought it was cool. Here's some thoughts on it. And read, you know, like quick 700 word thing.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like kind of like book synopsises, random essays, and then like just bullshit, almost like proto stand up material while just write, like free write, just bullshit. Hopefully it's entertaining. And then I'll have a little fiction section too. So I'm going to have just like a one stop shop of just anything I'm working on.
Yeah.
The fiction I'll release in little like snippets to be like, here's an excerpt from this thing.
You know, that proto stand up material idea, I do think that's the best way to write jokes is just to free write. I think when you sit down and try to write a joke, it's like always bad.
It's terrible. I might as well have like a jeans and a blazer on, a turtleneck. Like I can't. I have to just like I just like writing. That's the thing. I like writing, and if I think about writing stand up, I get like a rash. I'm like, oh,
it's awful.
It's the worst
You'll
feeling.
Never do
it's
it.
It's the worst feeling.
And if you
ever.
do it, it's you know, people every once in a while check in with like ChatGPT and have it write a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing that now for a while. And only once did I ever try a joke it wrote on stage, just out of curiosity.
Yeah,
it was a remotely okay joke.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, ugh.
Yeah,
it ate shit.
Yeah, it can't. You can also trick ChatGPT by being like, here's a joke idea, and give it total nonsense, and it'll be like, fire. And you're like, that actually doesn't make sense.
Slobbing the knob.
You're a fucking dumbass. It makes no sense.
It's like the most evil friend you could have.
Just a sycophant, like, fire, man, amazing. Take it to the stage. You're an edgy dark. And it's like, all right, man.
Oh, dude, in the our vows when I got married. In the vows are, do not tell me something's funny if you don't think it's funny.
Because
if your fucking wife starts trying to make you happy by lying to you about whether something's funny, you're dead meat.
Yeah.
And you know what this translates into? My wife doesn't laugh that much
at me. Although sometimes I have a similar tough critic wife about jokes, but sometimes I'll say something that she'll just go, I watch her shoulders drop and she'll be like, fuck off. She'll get pissed and I'm like, fuck yeah, that's funny. That's gonna work. Sometimes I know if she gets like furious, I'm like, that's good. That's gonna be a good one.
You're changing my life.
I swear to God.
I'm subscribing to your Substack, man. I swear to God, you're changing my life.
Stokestack.
I'm in. Already, two beautiful marriage tips, man. That's incredible.
Yeah, you gotta piss her off every now and again. Gotta just fucking piss her off.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I dig in. When she's in a mood, I just dig in. Just quietly and almost like, if her vibe's low, I go so like annoyingly high vibe, high energy, and just hover around her until she's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh,
whoa,
yeah.
What the fuck, dude? Oh, we're fucking chilling.
Oh, wow.
It's like, it's a sick pleasure, but I love it.
Oh, that's, you know, that's like next that there should be a law against doing
yeah, it.
Yeah,
it should
like,
be. It's
there's
really
a
fucked
criminal.
Up.
That's
it's. I'm an energy vampire a little bit. I could be a little bit of an energy vampire.
I'll be honest. Aren't all comedians?
Yeah, I think so.
Aren't we just like laugh vampires? Like we're absorbing energy. Like you want it. Ideally, it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's when it becomes parasitic, and you can always tell the comedians. Mm-hmm. Where it's a parasitic relationship because they're like that with everything.
Yeah.
You know, you if you forget, like you're not
you're
not there to get jerked off by the audience's adulation, like loving you.
Yeah, yeah.
They're buying tickets to jerk you off.
Yeah, really, that's
be
true.
Incredible if that was
so fucking awesome. That's the good life of the guy on Love Island. that was a big switch for me in stand up, just being like, dude. Let me just try to have these guys have a good time. As much as he's like, it's just fucking, it's just a hacky prep. And I'm like, I don't really care, honestly. I'm like, if these guys have fun, it's like a mental reversal where you're just kind of like, exactly what you're saying. Like, dude, they didn't come here tonight to be like, I'm prepared to have my mind blown by this one out of 40 fucking comics and 5,000, you know, showcases. It's like, just let them try to make them have fun.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes so much weight off you where you're just like, oh, I'm having a good time.
Yeah. So it's a form of like healthy surrender, right? Like, because it's like, well, it seems like a phase of comedy. is you start thinking you're like the Oppenheimer of jokes or something. Yeah, like what?
It makes me laugh so hard when I hear it, when it's just like, I'm just doing like something totally. It's like, dude, it's a cheap bar trick. You're a vaudeville cheap bar trick. And it's fun. It's a good thing. Yeah. But yeah, when it gets into like, I'm just hit it like I'm next level. It's like, all right, dude, like, shut up.
You see it in their bodies. They carry that. They carry this like completely unnecessary weight. It's like, what?
Yeah, you're slightly cooler than a magician as a comedian, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's arguable. That's hard. You could debate that. Yeah.
You're a little bit cooler than a magician with like a wrapped car being like, I do parties.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is debatable too. Magicians, yeah, they could, yeah.
Oh, dude.
It's close.
I had this magician was doing the matinee show. Holy shit, it was in Philadelphia.
Really?
Yes. I love Philadelphia. I want to talk about that in a second. Yeah. But so it was in Philadelphia. Will you look up Ass Magic, Josh?
Okay.
I can't remember his name. I think it's Jack. This
ass
dude
magic?
Does ass magic.
What?
Yeah. Oh, not with a K.
Whoa, hey, dude. You're trying to summon demons?
You're thinking about Aleister. That's Aleister Crowley.
Sorry. What was it? Ass magic what?
No. That's it. Ass magic. Look it up. Oh, wait, go back. What came up?
Hold
ass
on,
magic.
Skin repair.
What?
Okay, hold on.
Jack Grady. There he is. Pull that up. Jack Grady.
Ignore Jack Grady. The fucking ass wash and cream.
Jack Grady ass magic. He got kicked off of America's Got Talent faster than anyone ever has in the history of the show.
Why?
You know what? Let's show it, but we can't show it on the thing, but okay. We could just watch it just so you get an idea. And I'm just using this as like, I don't know, man. I could argue this guy's cooler than most comics.
Yeah,
Look up Ass Magic, Jack Grady, like Overlook Hotel, Grady, Jack Grady. That was his name, right? Grady in the
I thought it was great.
It was Grate. Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Grady.
Here we go.
There it is, Jack Grady. But look up Jack Grady, America's Got Talent.
Let me see. Damn.
You ever buy magic tricks for your kids?
No,
they fucking suck every time.
Yeah, my kid's been trying to do magic tricks on me recently. It's been really fun. Here he goes.
Watch how quickly he gets thrown off.
Yep, that's me.
Oh, wait, no.
But I bet you're wondering how I got in this situation.
8 years old, I was watching TV. I saw Chris Angel.
No, go get out of there. Yeah, the thing itself.
We take a bottle.
This is it.
We take a
wait,
bottle.
Wait, no, go to that. Find the actual one.
Yeah.
No offense, Jack, if you're watching this, but... I love this dude, but I just
Whenever you see, like, here's the video. Here we go.
This is it.
We take a bottle, becomes a glass. Where'd it go? It's in my room.
That's amazing. That's a fucking genius, dude.
Me now. Yeah. Yeah. He's great.
That's awesome.
So, to get back, maybe I'm trying to do too much of an interview,
no.
Not a podcast.
That's
I'm just
fine.
Curious because you've become like a juggernaut, man. Like you are just, you know, anytime a dad is like doing anything, you're like, whoa, that's amazing. But you got a lot of plates spinning, man. So what happened?
You know what it was? So if I went all the way back to the answer way back when, it was like, you know, I'd had jobs in high school and I was like, you're in high school, they're bad jobs. And I go, fuck, this shit sucks, dude. And then
were the jobs? I'm sorry.
It was mostly construction type jobs, which when I was younger was kind of sick because it was mainly like I would like throw rocks into like a machine bucket in front of my uncles and they'd be like, come on, get it. I'm like, check me out. So that was fun, but that was like kind of brutal work. And then it was like ice cream place. I worked in a candy shop in the mall, pool company. Like it just sucked. Like I remember just being like, damn, this is fucking hard.
Mall candy shop?
I was in the mall candy stand for a little bit.
What? Do you remember the name of it?
Scoop Two Nuts. Funny enough, Scoop T.O. Nuts.
This wasn't even a store. This was like one of those.
It was a thing, a kiosk in the middle. Yeah, it was a candy kiosk operator.
Did they make you like, you know, there's a mall around here where they like, they'll yell.
I didn't have to do any of that. I just chilled. I would just chill and kind of read books and then they would come up. I remember I got that job. I got grounded for a month for drinking. And then I was like, fuck, I might as well go get a job. And I just went and got the candy shop job. So I would at least get out of my house while I was grounded and make money.
How'd you hear about the job?
Walking, I was just in the mall. And I used to like apply for jobs and walk okay. around. And that place had just, only it was only female employees.
Yeah.
So it was just babes. And I walked by and I was like, are you guys hiring? And the manager was like, yeah, actually we're hiring somebody. And yeah, it was like a whole thing. But yeah, I got hired there.
Wow, so work that's the babes. Well, that's cool.
It was awesome. It was cool.
That's cool.
It's me and babes, and I was stealing money from the register the whole time.
Everyone was. Yeah, yeah. That guy was like, how's this happening? I don't understand.
I didn't take anything until the, I was working, the lady who hired me was a sweat equity partner who was working for these two guys who owned it, and she was supposed to be an owner. And once they fucked her over, they basically like, you know, were like, ah, whatever, you're out. And they didn't honor their thing they were saying yeah. she was going to do. She was running it for them. She told me that and was like, I'm going to be out of here. The dudes came in and they were fucking dickheads. And yeah. that's when I was like, yeah. okay, now I'm going to take.
I don't think shitty bosses understand Dude. How much it's costing them to be oh, shitty. Because that's giving your employer a raise. Like when you're being shitty to them, you're basically like, go ahead and pay yourself whatever you want. Because yeah. all loyalty, honor goes out the fucking window. Add just like a brief introduction to Karl Marx. Forget it. You're gonna get fucking robbed.
Oh, no, especially now. Yeah, you're done, dude. And it's you're gonna get. They're gonna be. They're like a prisoner essentially, where they have all day to just scheme, and they can see the inner workings. And it's like, especially me, I would sit, and it's like if I like the boss.
This episode of the DTFH has been brought to you by my friends at Ultra Pouches. You know, something really, I don't know, this is probably way too much information for an ad, but I'm getting piano lessons for my kid. And these lessons, believe it or not, the parent has to get some lessons first so that they can help their child practice piano. I've got a great piano teacher. She's strict, and she noticed me sticking one of those pouches, a nicotine pouch, into my mouth. She's like, you know what? Why don't you try not doing that for the lesson? And you know, in my mind, it's like, what are you talking about? You want me to start sobbing during the lesson? But she's like, a lot of people do way better without nicotine in their system when they're working on piano. I tried it. She was right. As it turns out, and I only know this now because this is what they want me to read in the ad, nicotine is a vasoconstrictor, somewhat less dangerous than a boa constrictor, but basically what it means, it narrows your blood vessels and restricts oxygen delivery to muscles, which can directly counteract the pump you want to get out of your workout. I was supposed to talk about probably working out, not piano lessons, but that piano pump, you're not going to get that with nicotine. Why didn't you tell me this, Josh? It raises cortisol, which can lead to muscle breakdown and worse recovery. And because nicotine increases your heart rate and blood pressure significantly, it can create unnecessary cardiovascular stress during workouts. What the fuck? Seems like nicotine isn't good for you. Well, this is why I started using Ultra Pouches, and they've been a complete game changer. This is next level nootropic magic. These pouches give you instant focus and the energy boost without the vasoconstriction, crash, and addiction that comes with nicotine. Why? They use clinically proven nootropics and adaptogens to deliver immediate focus and smooth energy that lasts 1 to 2 hours. They just give you this wild boost. It's fascinating. So, you know, for me, unfortunately, a nicotine addict who reaches for a freaking pouch in the morning, it's incredible the difference in my mornings when I reach for an Ultra Pouch. Totally different feeling. Much better. And now I know why. I had no idea nicotine was bad for you. Somebody should talk about that. They've got a lot of great flavors. I like wintergreen, but they also have cool mint, tropical, watermelon, and blue razz. Ultra is the ultimate guilt-free pouch, delivering instant focus and mental clarity without nicotine or caffeine. New customers can use code Duncan to get 15% off at takeultra.com. That's takeultra.com for 15% off with code Duncan. After your purchase, they will ask you where I heard about them. Please, for the love of God, support our show and tell them our show sent you.
A complete Boy Scout. I would be like, hey, yeah, this, that, completely straight up and honest. As soon as I detected some shittiness, I would just literally be like, I'll destroy this place. I will do everything I can to sink this. I was 17.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll sink this fucking place. And, you know, I'd make like $60 out of it and be like, dude, they're probably fucked now. But so it really like, I had like so, you know, answer to go all the way back. It was like, I remember buying weed and be like, damn, this weed's fucking expensive. And then I remember being like, I have a lot of friends that smoke weed. So I just was like, hey, do you guys want any weed? Because I was going to get an eighth. And they were like, yeah, actually. And so I just ordered it. I took a lot of orders and I went and got an ounce. And I went, huh, I got a quarter ounce of weed for free. And then something clicked. And I was like, that's really nice. And then I just started like, what if I bought a quarter pound? And, you know, and it just... I just slowly did that until it turned into this big thing years later.
That's your first introduction to like the magic of capitalism. That's your first introduction.
It literally was.
To like the basics of being an entrepreneur and how insane it is that you could just, if you have the capital, you can buy shit cheap. I'm doing lemonade stands with my kids to try to teach them this backrooms lemonade. That's the theme, is the back room. So it's like we have this fucked up, weird painted sign and shit. Cause my kid, like,
it's called backroom lemonade.
Yeah, backrooms lemonade.
How's it going?
We've only, you know, on our launch, it did great because it's like, you know, everybody, people are just so sweet. They want the kids to like learn business. But they're not teaching them business at all, because like they come, they're like, I'll buy five glasses, and then they give them like $20. And
I know,
it's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is how it fucking works.
I did a lemonade stand with my cousin when I was like younger, and my older brother, our older brothers, as he had older brothers as well, went up the street and then put their own sign up saying like support. Either put like Nazis or the KKK lemonade stand, so people just drive by.
That's hilarious.
Jerks. Yeah. That's jerks.
You know, some places.
I don't know if they actually did that or they were just teasing us, but I still have it in my head. I got to ask.
It's a great idea.
It's very funny.
It's a great. Oh, God. It's very funny. I have so many fucking ideas like that. I have so many terrible ideas like that.
You could, if you get a kid, yeah, it'd be like support, you know.
Yeah, but.
Antifa terror cell.
Oh, God. Antifa lemonade is incredible. Black block lemonade. Black block. Some fucking anarchist flyers in the front. Yeah.
But that was the, so that was kind of the thing. And then that led to, you know, it was hard to get it right though. Like it's harder to like make money selling weed. Like you think like, oh, you just do it and you make a bunch of money. It was very difficult at first.
Risky, I didn't have
a
digital, too.
I think it's very risky. And so when I went away to college, that's when I could really be like, all right, I have my own place. I can finally like.
You went to Bryn Mawr.
No, well, that was for my master's later on. I went to Drexel.
Okay. Okay.
My bachelor's was at Drexel.
Damn.
Yeah, I did Drexel. And that's when I had this Indian guy in front of me, an ounce of like really shitty. I was back to like the middies, it was called, like in between Schwag and Beasters.
Yeah.
He was getting me for like $400 an ounce on middies, and I had no scale, so I had to eye everything out.
Ooh.
That was not profitable, but that's how I kind of learned everything.
What would you say, like, if you had to guess, and obviously this is improv and it's none of this is real, and
for sure.
You're a really good at improv.
For
by
sure,
the way.
For sure. Thank you.
So natural. Yeah. But what if you just, I mean, what do you, how much do you think total you netted from your business?
I would say if I had to just like fuck around and make something up.
Yeah, make it up.
I mean,
obviously.
Dude, it was 14 years. So there was peaks where it was like 4K a week when once I got good at it, just net. And then it like kind of settled out to like, I probably made just like 150, 200 grand a year for a while there.
Josh, will you over this part for real?
Yeah,
will you flash, this is improv.
Yeah.
These are trained improv actors doing a bit.
But okay. Yeah, I had a long stretch, dude. I had a long, long stretch.
And Hold on one second.
I bottomed out a couple times, though, or I would lose everything.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I forgot my next line. Whoa, dude, that's so much money. Damn, that's incredible.
It gave me like an incredible amount of freedom as I was younger. And like, my wife always laughs at me because whenever people are like, back then, they'd be like, oh, I hate my job. I'm like, quit your fucking, just quit. Who cares? Because I would also have jobs. I would get jobs when like things would slow up. I'd lose like a major customer. Yeah. I'd be like, fuck, I would get a job, work the job. And then I try to find out who smoked weed, and I would start selling them weed at the job. And then once my customers would come back, I would leave the job.
Whoa.
And I was like a little fucker, man.
That's a good business plan. That's so smart.
It was kind of nice, yeah.
Yeah, it really is fascinating to me that in the world, like it's especially, I don't know what it's like living in another place. I only lived in America, but here it's odd because you get this sense that like, there's this sort of like, I don't know, people, what you're talking about is available to anyone.
Kind of,
at
yeah.
any time, if you can get the capital together. Even yeah. if you can't.
But you can still get fronted too.
You can get yeah. fronted, which was dangerous. We tried that in Hendersonville to get fronted, yeah. these dumbass kids. One of our shit friends was like, no, man, he's going to front us a key. And we're like, really? And do you know how many, we made like, at least three different trips up to Charlotte to get this mythical fucking kilo that some psycho would have given to a bunch of grubby fucking drug-addled mountain stoners. Definitely wouldn't. They would have killed us. But we never got it.
Yeah.
So we failed in that pursuit.
Yeah, in the front. Yeah, it's yeah. tough. You need. Yeah, it's a.
You need credit. I mean, you need some kind of credit. Like how?
You do.
If I'm fronting weed to somebody, like
start small. Well, the thing is like you go, all right, I can, if they don't, here's an ounce, I'm getting pounds of weed, I can front these guys an ounce to kind of feel them out, and if they pay me back on an ounce, you go, okay, like, because I was honestly, dude, maybe like 15% of people can successfully get an ounce of weed front it and not smoke at all. 85% of people, if you front them there, I've learned this obviously kidding around through experience, they'll smoke it all and they'll go, fuck, man, I'm so sorry, dude. My fucking boy was supposed to pay
yeah.
you.
Josh,
so there's
pull
a very
up the,
small percentage of people that can do it.
Pull up the Google the 10 crack commandments so we can just yeah, yeah. run it by you and you could verify these. not the weird. I mean, just I want the commandments. There's got to be a poster of the clear. Just go to image search. Okay, yeah, there. Just pull up the lyrics. Fuck it. I'm sure there's like a dumb poster. Blah, blah, blah. Keep going. Okay, here we go. Let's go up to. Okay, rule number one, never let no one know how much dough you hold. Is that true?
Well, that's the worst thing about it is like, you know, so you become a pathological liar because you have to. You have to lie to every single person you meet because you can't be like, if you tell people, first of all, you can't tell anyone whatever you get it for because then that you're up. I mean, you can technically just be like, here's what I charge you, but people start to fucking fight about that.
Right.
So you become like, you can't tell anybody.
You can't let people know what you're netting.
Or just very minimal people, or just how much money do you have or what you have, because that is true. Especially more so, though, because I was around Drexel, so I was dealing more with college students. That was chill. But then I would kind of like bump up against like real inner city drug dealers. And like, dude, I knew multiple people that would be outside with like, you know, guys from North Philadelphia, West Philly. And they were like, yeah, man, we sell weed too, like college kids. And they would get home invaded like right away.
Right.
Multiple times.
Where would you keep your dough? Where did you keep it?
This was always under your bed. And then eventually you can get like storage units and shit and kind of like hit the storage unit. And
did you ever listen, like when you were running weed around, did you ever listen to the 10 crack
commandments? Listening to rap when you're selling anything, doing anything illegal, it's for real so tight.
Imagine
it's
how cool
so
that is.
Fucking sick. It's you feel like the ultimate main character. It's like the ultimate main character sickness where you're just kind of like, dude, they're basically talking about me. Yeah, like having an ounce of coke on you for sale and listening to Beanie Siegel was like peak experience.
Wow.
It's
yeah.
so tight.
It's like so cool. EDM and ecstasy.
Yeah, exactly.
It goes together.
But it's so dumb because you're like, you're kind of LARPing in a sense where it's like, you know, you're like from the suburbs, you're mostly in the suburbs.
Yeah.
It's a pretty... I was like a furry almost in a sense where like I was LARPing pretty hard.
Yeah.
But
still it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. I got robbed. I got robbed a couple times.
Let's go to number two. I think that does actually bring us to number two. Never let them know your next move. Don't you know bad boys move? That's great reading this. Like, don't you know bad boys move in silence or violence? Take it from your highness. I done squeeze mad clips at these cats for they bricks and chips. Did you move in silence?
I relatively, you know.
I'm so sorry.
No, relatively. That's the thing. You become a recluse because you're like, and dating becomes a nightmare because then you meet a girl,
right?
And you're like, you got to slowly by degrees be like, here's kind of what I'm up to, and then if that goes south, you go, oh, I have a bitter enemy right now who knows all my deepest.
No, that is a cop.
Yeah, true. That was another stage of it. My wife became a cop eventually.
Which brings us to number three. Never trust nobody. Your mom will set that ass up. Yeah. So you're paranoid. You go into
paranoid.
A state.
You're paranoid. You think everybody's watching you all the time. It like fucks up your nervous system. It's actually, I would say, it's really bad for. It's like a bad life. When you're younger, it's the same as Love Island. You're like, this is going to be so sick, and then you do it, and you're like, this is a sad, brutal life.
Well, it's like day trading.
Yeah,
it fucking sucks. Yeah. You just sit in front of the. Oh God, Jesus Christ! You're always checking your stupid Robinhood account.
That is funny. The thing you're like, this would be so sick if I could become. I did the same thing. Like, dude, becoming a day trader would be so sick. Yeah, you do it. You're like, this fucking sucks.
I'm guessing this goes all the way up to the billionaire life. I'm guessing that like everyone's like, why are they like that? Why don't they just retire or anything? It's like they can't.
They can't.
Their amygdalas are permanently in a state of. Deep getting chased by a tiger level stress.
Oh, yeah.
They're constantly thinking about millions of lives they're supporting. They're totally frazzled. I'm sure Bezos shits blood. If I had to guess, no matter how
he'd probably like recycle it back into his body, though. He has the technology where it just comes out, goes in a little clear tube, and back into his neck. But I think you're 100% right. And it's also like, imagine being famous for money specifically. You know, it's not like a skill. I mean, it's, you know, there's skills of acquiring it, but it's like, that's a weird one, man, where you're like, I'm famous for money, not like, you know, dancing or it's just like, I make so much fucking money. There's money in my fucking family that goes back to like before the French Revolution, and I've expanded it, and it's like,
yeah,
it's weird, dude. That's you need a whole staff just to like do your banking.
And you've broken so many laws.
You do whatever you want.
You've done so many vile things. Yeah. Or you're friends with people who have done vile things.
Yeah, yeah.
And that girlfriend feeling, you've got so many people around you who know where the bodies are. And so you just live in this perpetual state of like, at any second, the fucking sword is going to drop.
Yeah.
And I'm dead. Like, I'm gonna get skewered.
Oh, you have friends that could like wield the power of the state against you, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah,
that's so scary.
Friends in the fucking Supreme Court. Yeah. They get annoyed with you, they can pass a law that
who's the guy that's going to jail for Trump? I always forget his name. He's white hair, Bolton, maybe.
Oh yeah, yeah. This just happened, right?
That's like, so funny, right? Like, I was watching him, I'm like, well, first of all, he's not really going to jail. I don't think.
Who's the guy going to jail for Trump? That you're going to get like 100 names.
Yeah. No,
this
dude. Big, white, bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There he is, John Bolton.
Bolton agreed to a plea deal to one felony count of illegal retention of classified national security information.
Yeah, they were just, you know, buzzing around, fucking drinking cognac, smoking cigars, and being like, and they're like, dude, you're going to jail. Like, oh, fuck.
But this is, I just read about this. Look up, guy finds gold, like this treasure hunter, this dude, I guess you don't have to look it up. Guy finds treasure and goes to jail instead of revealing it.
Oh, really?
This is really interesting. He did the right, he was right. It was like $5 million. I don't know. It doesn't matter, but I just read about this. This dude, maybe it is Thompson. I don't think that's him. Basically, this guy found $5 million in gold.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, pirate treasure or some shit. And I guess when you find treasure, it belongs to the state, which is bullshit. And he decided not to give the treasure to the state. And he did. Yeah, I guess it wasn't Tommy Thompson. It's not Tom. I don't know. I read it on fucking Instagram.
But somebody did this.
Yeah, and he decided to go to jail for 5 years instead of telling where the gold was. Because it's like, go to jail, you're going to make $1 million a year, tax-free income, and then it's your $5 million. You just have to do 5 years. And he did it. And like,
oh, they want to put it in like the Smithsonian, basically, or just be like, this is just ours. This is our
theirs.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's theirs. If you find treasure, I think you have to...
That makes sense. Treasure does belong, essentially, to like the highest...
Oh, that is Tommy Thompson. Chose to spend 10 years in federal prison rather than reveal the location of the gold, which is
multi-million-dollar waiting room. So funny.
But you know, I like with anyone going to jail for Trump, I guarantee side of that is a fortune.
Yeah.
And so there's like, I just have to fucking.
Oh, he didn't get the fucking gold back.
What?
Oh, well, it's saying they remain missing. He's not allowed to touch them.
Well, wait, he's got the fucking gold.
They ordered him. They sued him basically for $19 million.
Oh, the court system, the FBI and his original investors have mechanisms in place to ensure that if the gold ever resurfaces, it will be immediately seized. Oh, please melt that shit down. Just go in your garage, melt that shit down.
Yeah.
You could sell. That's ridiculous. If he tries to sell even a single one of the 500 missing coins, the rare coin market is so tightly monitored. Just melt down the gold.
Yeah, I think, I'm sure he figured something out.
He definitely figured something out.
I hope he did. Otherwise, we should hunt for the gold.
Just go to jail for it.
I mean, it does belong to the king. A treasure. Whoever rules America, you have to get. You can't just have treasure.
Dude,
I'm talking about.
I hate that law, though. Not that I'm ever going to find gold, but it's always bothered me. It's like, what? There's supposedly, look up the gold trove in Austin. There's a treasure in Austin.
Really?
You're not allowed to dig for it because so many people know about it. They were ripping up fields and stuff. Yeah. What? Unfound, what gold?
I mean, yeah, this is the Wild West. There's probably all kinds of weird things of...
Not a gold mine. It's like, what? Just look up Undiscovered Treasure Austin. Probably some stupid thrift store will come up. Undiscovered Treasure Austin. Yeah.
Shoal Creek Treasure.
Gold worth up to $3 million. While digging in city parks is illegal, local history enthusiasts... Dating back to the 1830s, a legend claims a massive Mexican army payroll was stolen and buried near the creek. In the 1890s, a story sparked gold fever, driving residents like Travis County Treasurer A.G. Jernigan to illegally dig up the banks. Another tale claims Confederate troops buried 80,000 in gold coins near Shoal Creek. So there's all these like...
Yeah. Everyone used to do that. All the criminal, like bank robbers back then, would rob a bank, bury all their money, and like chill for like 3 months, and then come back to town, dig it up at night, and leave. So that way you didn't get caught with the money, and it would like kind of died down.
Didn't Carlos Mencia just do that?
He had 30. Didn't he have like 30?
What happened? Yeah. What did he do?
Didn't pay taxes.
Oh, how do you have? Yeah, I don't know why people think you can never get away with that.
Can't get away with it.
Especially if you're high profile. They're going to come. They're definitely going to get that.
Yeah, they're definitely going to get it. Like, they
can't even joke about selling weed. You know? I'm getting attacked by my life insurance company.
You can't.
You're just calculating like.
Your wife is going to be like, why did our life insurance go up? Joked about selling weed. $8.7 million.
And they're going to put those.
Oof.
It's the district attorney, so there's some new law that they're using him as the example.
Oh, bro.
They
start hitting you with interest on that, too.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God. Apparently, though, if the IRS comes after you, you can get on a payment plan and just pay the minimum amount. And after so many years, it just goes away.
Yeah.
But it sucks because you have, you know, they're on your ass all the time.
But also, I think it sort of depends on, like, what you have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you have a bunch of stuff, they'll take it. Yeah, I think they do this just a quick calculation, which is like, what are we going to make more money from? Like a payment plan or just taking all of this dude's shit. They did that with Mencia, and they're like, take a shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh fuck. Yeah. I forgot about that. They could just like, give us your house.
Yeah, they could do that.
Yeah, the guy, I knew a dude who was doing it, but he was just like renting a place. He kept it pretty low key.
Yeah.
And he got nailed because he bought a fucking airplane.
Whoops.
They were like, what the fuck? And they just nailed him.
Yeah, no.
And then now he had to do everything. His whole, for years, had to be all under the table. Everything was under the table. And then one day he was getting ready to pay. He was like, I got to give him one more payment because he would let it lapse and they got to come find you again, start all over. He did it for years and he was going to go make a big chunk one day. And he found out about that law from someone he knew, like where it just has to end at a certain point. And it was over.
Oh, wow.
So he was like, thank God I didn't pay them. He's about to give me another big substantial thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been the best feeling on earth.
He did. He said it was one of my best. And it went on. This was like a decade of this dude. It just never stopped left alone.
God, it's terrifying.
They got him so bad, too.
Yeah.
he was being such a bad boy.
Yeah. They know everything.
I know. They, especially now. Everything's on your cell phone and they have your location.
Everything.
You can't do anything now.
No.
That was the thing, too. I was pre-smartphone. And I remember pre-smartphone into kind of smartphone era and just like, you're just bugging out about like, damn, dude, they could probably like hear everything I'm doing. And, you know, so nowadays it's like, you're with the cameras everywhere. Like, You really can't do. I mean, you can do illegal stuff, but like, if they want to get you, they got you pretty much.
That is for sure.
Yeah, it's like you can do it as long as you want, but
that's for sure. They just, it's just like, is it worth it? Is there a reason?
And I don't think that's the big thing. It's such a you kind of like, you should be developing a skill when you're younger and like eating. You have to go through that phase, at least I think, where you're just kind of eating shit as a young person, learning a skill. Because that, I like, thank God I did stand up or something. Because it was like, I was just like not learning. I would try to write here and there, but it's like, I wasn't, that like pressure of being young and like feeling like, damn, I fucking suck, is like needed to like, okay, this is going to boost me to like learn something and, you know, create some sort of value. I just was like, for years, like I didn't have that pressure really.
Yeah, man.
And it can really kind of degrade. Luckily, thank God I just had like a work ethic in terms of like I had to be doing stuff all the time. So writing, thank God, was like a thing I always did.
Is that from doing construction, you think? Is that from like having to do those like insane, grueling jobs?
Yeah,
and
I think
so. And
you
learn how to like just like grind yourself?
Yeah, you do. Because it's also, you go, then you get to go, well, dude, that's fucking sucks. It's like July in like 94 degree heat. It's 80% humidity and you're like shoveling dirt and...
Yeah.
Or you're in like an old grocery store that burnt down and like you're in now the dairy aisle after months of sitting out. You got to load that into a dumpster. Like it sucks so bad that anything else you're like, well, it's not as bad as that. You get like you get to appreciate like,
yeah,
this sucks still, but it's nowhere near as bad as that.
I was a dishwasher at Chili's.
Oh, fuck, dude. Yeah, it sucks. Like it just fucking sucks.
That was one of my favorite jobs, by the way, outside of stand-up.
I will say the one thing is I was only ever a busboy, but I used to peep the giant faucet and the high pressure shit. And I'd always be like, damn, that's kind of sick, actually.
It's the best.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
No one expects anything from me. Yeah. Your only job, at least in those days, the dishwasher had to make the Italian dressing, which is, as I recall, it's like just mayonnaise and ketchup mixed together. I think that's what, not Italian. No, that's called.
I know you're talking about the yellowish one.
Yeah, you just squeeze squeeze ketchup into mayonnaise and stir it with this nasty long ass spatula in buckets. It's nasty.
That's
don't
disgusting.
Fucking order dressing it at restaurants, guys.
And dishwashing, it was just high power spray, then dip into the blue like barbershop liquid, and then that was it. What is like? When does a plate get clean in a restaurant?
The plate, no, it's high pressure spray. Then you throw it. Then there's the industrial washer that you throw them in.
Yeah.
And then that sprays off anything that you missed and it bakes them. Dude, I've washed dishes in a few different places. One place I got a dishwashing job at, and this was way before like the trans thing, the other dishwasher was an actual hermaphrodite, like the real thing, like had both.
What?
They were like, do you want to see? They wanted me to see, and I said no.
So it's funny thinking about sending your kid out in the world. There's just like a pure Pinocchio story. You're like, go get a job, son. You'll be all right. And
it's just literally.
Like, you mean it's just you and fucking hermaphrodites in a kitchen? You want to see both my genitals? Like, I don't know. I've never seen that before.
I really regret saying no to that.
Yeah, true.
In my old age, I look back. I'm like, that's one of those things. You're like, yeah, sure. I want to see that.
Let's see it. Yeah, let's see what's up.
But I remember. So,
no, thank you. No, thank you, sir.
I think I tried to be cool about it. I was like, nah, man, I gotta get home. Because they wanted to take me to their house to show me their dick and pussy.
Yeah.
You know, but the the old story, but the
your father was in the belly of a whale. You're like, I gotta get back to him. I can't see your penis vagina.
But man, I can remember. Because the dishwashers, I think we were bussing tables too, but I can remember I was out front bussing.
Did you ever see the bulgel toe on the hermaphrodite? Did they ever have like a bulge/camel toe sticking out?
I never saw it.
Never bulgel toe.
I never noticed it. But I did think, you know, you're like, whoa. Like, I think that's the first time I'd really heard of that before. And
yeah.
It was just like, whoa.
Never,
it sounded like a lie. But
it's funny, they just had a dick. It was just like an old gay guy.
They were my age.
Really?
They were my age, but I was bussing. This is a really fascinating story. I was bussing tables and I hear this like piercing shriek coming from, it was during a thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear this piercing shriek. It went through the whole restaurant, ran back there, and what lightning had hit the fucking restaurant and electrocuted him, knocked him. He survived.
What?
But he got fucking struck by lightning washing dishes. Like
the hermaphrodite was struck by lightning.
Yes.
Bro, what the fuck?
Dude, I know. Could have died. Could have exploded him all over the kitchen, but like he survived. He had to go home, but he was like,
what the fuck?
I know. Crazy. It was crazy.
That's insane.
This episode of the DTFH is brought to you by Amantara. Oh, dear Lord, we thank you for the bountiful gifts of nature. One of those gifts is Amanita muscaria, a completely legal psychoactive mushroom that has been used for millennia for a variety of spiritual purposes. What's interesting about this particular mushroom is that it affects the GABA receptors, which happen to be the same receptors that are affected by alcohol and benzos. Wild. It's wild. It's the most interesting psychoactive I know of. And when I say most interesting, it's like by now all of us have done psilocybin, right? This is a psychedelic high, but it chills you out. It's the best. It's a dream come true. And P.S., it also gives you incredible dreams. By the way, if you've gone to any gas station, you might have seen Amanita in the weird place where they sell like obscure semi-legal drugs shipped in from weird parts of the world with ingredients that probably aren't the actual ingredients. This is not the same. Amanita. No. I've made that mistake. You see, the Amanita market is genuinely shady right now. Products are mislabeled, adulterated, some containing actual research chemicals or synthetic compounds. This isn't a minor quality issue. It's a safety issue. Amantara is the largest importer and supplier in the U.S., third-party tested, clean sourcing, education first. They have over 60,000 happy customers. Christian, who I consider a friend, the founder, used Amanita personally to get off benzodiazepines. That's Xanax, if you didn't know. This is personal for them, not just a product. Down below, the link is in description, amantara.com/go/DTFH. This will take you to exclusive first-timer bundles. Code DUNCAN11 gets an additional 11% off the already discounted bundle price. Start low. Dosage varies a lot, person to person. Thank you, Amantara. I wanted to ask you about the animation stuff you've been doing. Can we show some?
Yeah, for sure.
Pull up some of this cool animation, Matt.
Is it on your Twitter or is it on?
It's on his YouTube.
YouTube,
yeah. Yeah, that was fun. Again, I just kind of like writing more so, but I was like, well, let's see if, you know, this could be.
Wait, hold on. What's that?
What?
This new fucking genre of like talking about podcasters is the most insane it's the most insane cottage industry.
It's horrible.
Bert Kreischer crashes out over Shane Gillis. You got a picture of Kreischer like he just like was in a horrible car accident. Picture of Shane looking handsome. I don't want to watch that, but wow, that's crazy.
That is an interesting kind of, you never thought that'd be coming.
No.
In-depth analysis.
Of podcasts. Yeah,
there's a lot of them.
I know.
It's an industry.
Yeah. It is. If you click my thing, it should pop up.
There you go.
Papa John Paradox.
We still, hold on, pause it, guys. We probably still can't show this, even though it's him. Like, YouTube will just auto-ding us.
Really?
I don't know. Let's just show a clip and see what happens.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
What if I took
both at the same time. You don't want to do that. That shit will fuck you up, my n***. Wait, you're allowed to call me that?
Pat, Mike, what is the issue?
He can't call me that, right? It doesn't make sense to call me that. I'm white, at least. That's what I've been told.
Right, but he's black, so he's allowed to say it to
you. This is great. We don't have to show the whole thing. Fucking awesome, man. But thank you. Who's animating that?
It was Patrick Kane and directed by Frank Gidwelski.
How'd you find Patrick Kane?
Honestly, he was he hit me up on Instagram. He had animated clips of the podcast, and I was like, "Dude, do you want to do?" I didn't know shit about animation. I was like, "Do you want to like do animate stuff?" So that was it.
I love animation.
I like writing it. What I don't like is it takes forever, dude. And watch it 1,000 times, and you go, "I hate this. This is not even funny. This is the dumbest thing." But it is, when it all came together, when it finally put the sound and all that stuff on it, it was really cool to have them all come out,
dude. When we did the Midnight Gospel,
and
I realized what goes in to like three sets. Forget just the animating part,
dude.
When you're like doing dailies, and everything in an animated scene that you see, is like if there's a spoon, somebody drew 5 different spoons.
Yeah,
you got to pick the spoon. Dude. Everything, everything is carefully picked.
Yeah.
To form the final product, and you, and God knows the first like draft of the Midnight. I still never forget when I watched the first episode at Titmouse, and I felt myself die inside. I'm looking, I'm like, well, yeah, I remember telling people, well, I guess it didn't work, guys. And then I was so wrecked. And then the producer, one of the producers came up to me and was like, Mike Mayfield came up to me and was like, Duncan, I just want you to know, your reaction to the first draft is everyone's reaction to the first draft who hasn't animated. Yeah. Everyone dies inside.
Yeah.
And then it gets funny.
Yep.
But that first...
Oh, there's no sound on it. It's just like a... And they were showing me story... what was it? Like the storyboards or whatever, or the, whatever that's called, when it's just... They're just like, here's like a... Like a hand-drawn sketch of what this... And I'd watch them like, dude, just fucking animate it so I can see the thing. And then they do it, and they're like... Well, it's all locked. You can't change anything now. And he's like, what the fuck? But they did a great job. But I agree. Midnight Gospel, too, visually was one of the sickest things, I think, possible.
Awesome. There's Jesse Moynihan. These guys are so fucking talented.
When, especially when you know what goes into it. I like watched that. I was like, whoa, my God. That was unbelievable.
Dude, thank you. Yeah. I think this is one of the like terrible horrors of AI, especially for people like us, who just like have a dumb idea, you want to get it out, you know how long it takes to animate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's so dark because you want to like see this idea in your head.
Yeah.
And you could pick between what you did, the right thing to do, because it's always going to be better. Get a human to animate this stuff, or just sit down in front of the fucking computer, type out your idea, and it spits it out. Then you upload it, and everyone wants to kill you.
I mean, I feel bad for animation because I know AI is coming for a lot. I mean, it's like, obviously, I think you always need a human touch, but dude, background, all that stuff, it can at least get you started and just cut out so much time. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of AI animation studios that's coming.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming big time, and it's going to be... Again, it's one of those things where we'll probably just kind of like, instead of having X amount of animators, we'll have a couple who will just kind of do like detailing and fine touching up. And
well, you know, I was fucking around with AI and realizing like any idea I have, it's kind of making it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too polished.
Yeah.
No matter, even if you try to tell it to degrade it or whatever, it's too polished. So... Then I took my own shitty drawings, took pictures of them, because you know that's how you make AI video content. Take the beginning and the end of a scene, and it kind of like figures out how to put the frames in between.
Whoa.
And so I gave it my shitty art. I'm like, you know, animate this person. I don't know what I wanted them to do. I don't remember dancing. And it would take my art and make it like I could draw. and then do the animation. So it made it look good,
yeah,
which I didn't want. Mm-hmm. That sucks. It looks too good. It's too polished. I don't want that. I want it to look like shit. I just don't want to take the time to like do frame by frame drawings. It takes forever.
Yeah.
And I was saying to it, stop making it look good. Like you're making it look like I could draw. And ChatGPT was like, yeah, welcome to like the big problem with AI video generation is I can't make it look as bad as you draw.
Yeah. No, that's with the AI stuff. I always try not to be super reactionary against it where I'm like, this is evil. Fuck this. Well, like, you see that. And then, you know, because there's part of me going like, all right, is this, there's like a lot of, you see people like college, you know, commencement speeches where it's like, fuck it. They start, a guy will be like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of developments and the students be like, boo, fuck you. So you can gain a lot of social currency by being like, fuck AI.
Right.
It's like, okay, whatever. Maybe you really feel that way. Maybe you're just getting, I don't know. I can't say. I don't know what you think. But the, I don't know. I kind of like, I'm interested in it, but it's like, I also get it. If it like erased my livelihood, I'd be like, fuck this shit.
Right.
So like, I get it, but I don't know. I try not to be like knee jerky about like how I react to it or perceive it or like signal, you know, whatever. But I think it's cool, honestly. My genuine thing is like, it is cool. It's like a calculator for like symbolic thinking instead of math. But it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's like language calculator, but I will say, I'm saying all that to say, like, when I see things generated by AI, I am always slightly disturbed and uneasy. Like, when it's, like, an AI person, I don't know what, just innately, I'm kind of like, ah, fuck, that's weird.
Yeah,
that's
it's not like a real, looking at a corpse.
Yeah, literally, that's such a good way to put it, because that is kind of the feeling I get, where I'm like, it's not a real fucking, and it's just a subtle, almost unconscious thing where I'm like, that's not a real person, and I get like a really uneasy, weird feeling.
Yeah, it's when you see your dead grandma feeling. You know, it's that.
That's exactly the feeling. I haven't been able to identify the feeling. It's a corpse feeling. You're like,
The scientific term is dead grandma. Dead feeling. Grandma. Yeah, DGF, and you, which, you know, my view on making stuff is just make stuff.
Yeah.
Like in. There are no, like, when it comes to making stuff, if you're thinking too much about where it will go, if you're thinking at all about where it will go, now you're a marketer. You know, you're getting caught. The marketing is poisoning all the good stuff. Nobody thought, like, this is going to make a ton of money, probably.
Yeah.
They just needed to make something, and they got lucky, and it took off.
Yeah.
That's my naive theory on it. So with, you know, dead grandma feeling, well, that's a real feeling. That does mean AI generated video is inspiring an emotion in people. Mm-hmm. Meaning to me, that's art. It's not art in the like your animation. It's not art in like human animation. It's a different, completely different animal.
Yeah.
But it is art to me in the sense that it's making people feel a certain way. But I just feel like it's like the best critique of it outside of the obvious shit is that it's just free based capitalism, because like in capitalism you want maximum return on your investment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taken art and it's created a way for people to remove the creation process almost entirely.
Yeah, it's
and
weird.
So it's all about production. It's all about producing. And anyone who's ever worked on a book or anything, you know that the book that you thought you were going to write isn't the book you end up writing.
Yeah.
And you would never get there if you could tell a computer, write this book. God help you if something could perfectly write your first idea for a book.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to write your book. That's a different book.
Yeah, and you don't enjoy. I mean, that's the big thing too, which... like you're saying, the free-based capitalism thing, where there's like, obviously, if you want to write books, you say, well, I'm going to write them, I'm going to sell them. But then there's like, there's the joy inherent in the task itself, where it's like, if you just outsource all the work and try to get all the money, it's like, hey, the thing's not, I don't think, it probably won't be good or like groundbreaking in any sense. But it's also like, you know, when you write a book, aside from like selling, there's like the external rewards of selling a book, but there's so many internal rewards to things that people now just like try to completely over. Like if you're a carpenter and you build a barn, it's like, yes, you can sell your barn, but you've also gained the skills. You have the pride. You can like feel the wood and everything. Yeah. And it's like,
hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I think everyone lacks it. There's a really good book about that. This guy, Alistair McIntyre, he was a philosopher in like the 80s. Got real into like Aristotelianism, virtue. Like, this is a kind of a thing that's been fucking me up lately. Dude, Alistair McIntyre's After Virtues. I think it's... I had to read a book basically summarizing the book. It's one of those dense things written by a giant fucking genius guy. Yeah. But dude, he goes through all this stuff. Basically, he's saying our modern morality is just like a broken, chaotic jumble of all of these different things that we use as almost like snakeskin to kind of just get our way so we can gain external rewards. It's pretty fucked up. But dude, it's true, because he was saying like back... A long time ago, as far as I can tell, a long time ago, it was like you had the virtues, and they were just more so about like how to excel as a human being across. It wasn't like necessarily like we have rule following morality. So there was like the virtues, which is like, how do you live the best human life possible? Yeah. And how can that way that you live make life better for as many people as possible?
Yeah.
If they do these same, if they have virtues, if you don't have virtues, your life is going to collapse. And then the church kind of came through, and I think Thomas Aquinas was the one who was like, no, this stuff is cool. Stop trying to rail against it, because but more or less what happened was virtues got collapsed into being virtuous, which just meant you're a rule follower. And then that's when you lived under the oppressive, like medieval times, modern, you know, 1950s, you were like a virtuous man if you just followed rules and that was that. And if you suffered, like, so be it. You're just more virtuous.
Is this Nietzsche's idea of, I never know how to say his fucking name, if it's Nietzsche or Nietzsche.
Yeah.
No matter what, someone will correct you either way, but is it... his slave morality. Is that what he... That's
pretty
what he
much, yeah. It's just, you're just following... But I think Nietzsche was like, you just have to make up your own things and go off. And the guy at McIntyre was like, no, you have to return to like the Aristotelian idea of virtues and pursue and practice things that, when done, give you a good inherent in itself, not necessarily a marketing. It's one of those things where I can't hardly summarize it. But
sounds good. I got you.
It's amazing. But then then it's like you had all these rule followers, and then it became... you know, virtuous or desirable to now just go the postmodern thing where like break all of these fucking rules,
right?
And then you'll be, and they're still miserable too. And it's like,
right.
You know, and his book's basically like, you have to get back to like being a community minded individual who's connected to like a deep tradition at some point, which you have to learn about in order to critique rather than burning it down and becoming like just a lost person adrift in like complete personal subjectivity. And
yeah,
it's pretty fucking sick, dude. It's what I think is it's amazing.
That's amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah, you sort of like oh god, it's so fucked up, man. You ever see like those hermit crabs who they like make their shells out of like shit they find on the beach and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Hermit crabs just kind of like huddled in like something that kind of looks like a shell. It's like a fucking Dannon, an empty Dannon yogurt,
That's,
plastic yogurt thing. They're huddled in there, and it's just like it could be better for you, crab. Like,
that's no. And he gets in. He calls it emotivism, where it's like our morality now is just like people just take from scraps of like morally coded language to just get their way. So there's making emotionally based arguments and being like, you're a fucking piece of shit if you don't agree with how I feel emotionally about this subject. Here's why. And then like, no, actually, you're a giant piece of shit. Here's why. And it's just people just both trying to get their ways. It's not tied to like an external good for people or a thing like, if everyone pursued this, would this lead to a good life or bad? It's just kind of like, you're a fucking piece of shit.
It's like whenever you see, like, I don't remember which religious text I was reading, but whoever was writing was trying to explain like the reason for these prescriptions of how to live is not because we're trying to like make you miserable.
Yeah.
It's because this works. If you want to be happy, if you do these things, you are going to have a much happier life than if you don't. And for thousands of years, everyone experimented with not doing these things. The experiment in drunkenness.
Yeah.
Has been done.
Yeah. I mean, literally, and these are people who have lived after other people lived for thousands and thousands and be like, hey, I did the whole thing. I'm front to back. I'm telling you. And you're like, yeah, fucking right. What the fuck do you and all those people know? Yeah. And you're like, I'm going to get hammered and gamble.
Yeah. I cheat on my wife. Yeah, yeah. It's like, dude, we did the experiment in infidelity. Everyone tried that.
Yeah.
It always fucks you up.
Yeah.
We did it. We've tried the. I think a lot of these religious people are like, if only.
Yeah.
It just, it's like the same way, like, you shouldn't, like, put a hair dryer in the bathtub.
Yeah.
You're going to get shocked. I don't know what that is or why or where. It's just the way it fucking works, man.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the when you – this gets back to what we were talking about earlier about freedom.
Yeah.
You get befuddled and you start conflating freedom with hedonism. You start thinking those are the same thing. The hedonic life is the ultimate life of liberty or something.
And do what thou wilt.
Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law.
Yeah.
Love is the law. Love under will. But people, I think, confuse that. I mean, I always, people get mad because they think I'm some kind of Crowley defender, but I don't think he meant, like, he was so fucking disciplined until he got on morphine. But it's another topic, but you know what I mean.
To sum it up, that was it. I grew up in, like, a Catholic household. You're like, fuck, this shit sucks. And then I go out just completely polar opposite into, like, a criminal underworld. And I'm like, I can do whatever. I remember the point where I was like, I have enough money where I could go get a massage and get jerked off every day.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is sad. You're like, this is so fucking sad. And you go, yeah, I'm that's because I remember being like, why wouldn't someone get jerked off every day if they had enough money for that?
And then you do it.
And you go like, oh, because you feel like a fucking lizard walking. You're like, this is disgusting.
Well, especially when you like the walls are thin and you hear someone next door getting jerked off.
Or you're just like, this can't be the primary mover of my existence. Like, obviously getting jerked off rules. But then there's higher order things that you should be taking care of. And, you know, when you're younger, you just don't see it. And then you get older and you're like, oh, having like a family, not even just for the sake of saying you did it. It's like you're literally doing your little part to like push society, humankind forward in a good way.
Yeah.
And it's just way more satisfying. Even if you don't have a family, even if you're like working with people and other people, you know, it just took forever to click for me. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have values now. And that helps because now I'm not like gaming every social interaction to try to come out on top in some sense. I'm like, no, this is what I feel and is right. I try to do it as much as possible.
Right.
And wherever I land amongst that, I feel good.
Yeah, you have a, you know, if you're not doing that, you're just tossed on the sea. Like you're just tossed around from one reaction to the next. You're an animal, you know, like not that animals are bad. They're cool. I love fucking animals. It's like, I don't know why everyone's like, you're an animal. It's like, you don't have to be, though. I mean, look, you know, when I look at squirrels, they don't seem fucking happy. They seem freaked out and hungry half the time, running from everything. They're so scared.
Yeah.
Every creature seems to be in varying degrees of, like, mortal danger all the time. Yeah. And you don't have to be like that. So, yeah. What time are we doing on time?
It's 12:55.
Fuck.
We got to wrap.
Yeah.
We got
to part two. Let's part two it. We'll part two it.
Dude, you are so brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for coming, man.
You're on tour right now.
I'm on tour right now.
What's it, Healing Frequency Tour?
Yeah, the Healing Frequency. MattMcCusker.com. It's awesome. Kicking off September through whenever. Yeah.
Beautiful. All the links will be down below if you're watching this on YouTube. Thank you, sir.
Dude, thank you.
Cheers. That was Matt McCusker. Everybody, don't forget to come see my upcoming shows. All the links are down below. Tune into the Mystery Boys. I will see you in just a few days. Goodbye.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.